Would you just close your eyes for a moment and say, Lord Jesus?
Lord Jesus.
I need your grace right now.
I need your grace right now.
I need ears
to hear. I need ears to hear.
I need eyes to see.
I need eyes to see.
And I need a heart to perceive.
And I need a heart to perceive.
That you're on the job with me.
That you're on the job with me.
And you're looking.
And you're looking.
And you're filling in.
And you're filling in.
A lot of places.
A lot of places.
That I may not want disturbed.
That I may not want disturbed.
But I'm asking for the favor.
But I'm asking for the favor.
And the grace.
And the grace.
And yes, there's an abundant supply of grace.
And yes, there's an abundant supply of grace.
To satisfy every need.
To satisfy every need.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm taking you with me where the Lord was pressing in this morning. And I wrote down seeing your plan unfold and rest in your presence and let you complete me in your likeness. Righteous, holy, and sanctified, all completely by your Holy Spirit. At that point, that was written for my heart to the Lord. I didn't expect to go there, but because we're on this particular move tonight, because I questioned if I was supposed to share what he took me to afterwards. So he pressed me and he said, now I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4 in the Amplified. So that's where we're going, because that's all he said at that point. So if you have your Amplified Bible, it might be helpful to go on a little journey. I said, Lord, what verse? And he said, right at the beginning, therefore, while the promises of entering his rest still holds and is ofted today, let us be afraid to distrust it. So there's a godly fear involved. And let any of you should think he has come too late and has come short of reaching it. For indeed we have had the glad tidings of God proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. That is, with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust. Now that takes a while to digest. They heard a message, but did not benefit from the message because it was not mixed with faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But they were leaning on their own abilities, and that's what you and I have heard about when we're in our soul. We're leaning on our own abilities. Instead of leaning on the faith that God has given us as a gift, because we all get a seed of it. Yes?
Yes.
It's a small mustard seed. That's all we get. We start with something. It'll develop if we nourish it. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. But again, they did not benefit because they did not mix it with faith. And then he puts in parentheses, and that's what he wants you and I to look at tonight. That is with The leaning of the entire personality on God. So if I'm leaning my entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, not your power, not my power, not soul power. His power, wisdom, and goodness. By those who heard it, neither were they united in faith with, and of course he puts Joshua and Caleb, the ones who heard it did believe. For we who have believed, who have adhered to and trusted and relied on God, do enter into that rest in accordance with His declaration that those who did not believe should not enter, when He said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And this He said, although His works had been completed and prepared and waiting for all who would believe from the foundations of the world. So, you know, when you digest that truth, you're going to find that several of those words need to be idolized and capitalized so that you understand that He's trying to teach us something and we need to rely fully on Him instead of ourselves. For in a certain place, verse 4, He has said this about the seventh day. And God rested on the seventh day from all His works. Genesis 2:2. And they forfeited their part in it, for in this passage He said, they shall not enter into my rest. Psalm 95:11. Seeing then that the promise remains over from past times, for some to enter that rest, and that those who formerly were given the good news about it and the opportunity failed to appropriate it, did not enter because of disobedience. Again, He set a definite day, a new today. Again, you should definitely circle today because that's where we're coming in. And gives another opportunity of securing that rest. Securing it means you've got to believe it and receive it by faith, because without faith, you're never going to make it. Saying through David, after so long a time, in the words already quoted, today if you would hear His voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts. Because you have a choice. The choice is don't harden your heart. Verse 8, this mention of a rest was not a reference to their entering into Canaan. For if Joshua had given them rest, he, God, would not speak afterwards about another day. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest, reserved for the true people of God. Are we the true people of God?
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. We've been shown over and over that we are a remnant. That remnant has to do something with faith that has not been done before. Amen? Again, go back to verse 2. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. That is, with the leaning of the entire personality of God in absolute trust. Absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, and His goodness by those who heard it, etc. Verse 8. This mention of rest was not in reference to the entire entering into Canaan. For if Joshua had given them rest, he, God, would not speak afterwards about another day. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for me and you. Amen?
Amen.
For he who has once entered into God's rest also has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labor. Ah, is that what you've been talking about tonight, huh? Mm-hmm. Is this confirmed, my friend? Cease from weariness and pain of human labors, just as God rested from those labors, peculiarly his own. Genesis 2:2. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter into that rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. They fell because they didn't use their faith. I don't think it was a season for them to be able to at that time. We've got that grace. We are in a different generation. 12. For the word of God speaks alive. I'm sorry. For the word of God is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow. That is, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of my heart. Take a deep breath. Say, Lord Jesus, it's starting to go in.
And
I need more grace.
And I need more grace.
Because this message is not done.
This message is not done.
And it is for me.
And it is for me.
And I have faith by choice.
And I have faith by choice.
To believe. And have full confidence and trust.
And have full confidence and trust.
In your power.
In your wisdom.
And in your goodness.
And in your goodness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
13. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless, to the eyes of him whom we have to do, and I've added and given account. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest, how do you like them apples, John? Who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. It's not faith in ourselves. It's faith in his ability, his strength, his power. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a fellow feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assault of temptation. One who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we needed it. Chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act in behalf of men in things related to God, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He is able to exercise gentleness, forbearance towards the ignorant and erring, since he himself also is liable to moral weakness and physical infirmity. And because of this, he is obliged to offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. Besides, one does not appropriate for himself the honor of being high priest, but he is called by God and received it of him, just as Aaron did. So too Christ the Messiah did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed and exalted by him, who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." That was when he was baptized. My beloved son, right? As he says also in another place, "You are a priest appointed forever after the power and rank of Melchizedek." Psalm 110, verse 4. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite special petitions for that which he not only wanted but needed, and supplication with strong crying and tears to him who was always able to save him out from death. And he was heard. Sometimes we think he wasn't heard because we don't think he hears us, because we don't get the desired results. But he was heard because of his reverence towards God, his godly fear, his piety, that is, in that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. Although he was a son, he learned active special obedience through what he suffered, and his complete experience making him perfect in equipment. He became the author and source of eternal salvation to all who give heed and obey him, being designated and recognized and saluted by God as high priest in the order with the rank of Melchizedek. As I put all this before my Lord, after I read it, I went over several areas 2-3 times because it was prodding me and going a little deeper. Then he said, "Would you write?" And I did. "I am so blessed, Father, to see the grace coming to me to enter your rest, and then to completely trust you to complete me in your likeness, and to trust you completely with no doubts allowed." So I rested with that, and I said, "Confirm yourself." Because again, I'm nosy, but I want to make sure the Lord has an opportunity to confirm what he wants. So this came a few hours later. I listened to Corrie ten Boom, and the first words out of her mouth when she's giving her teaching is abundant supply of grace. Our God has an abundant supply of grace to trust his ability to adjust what is needed for all his projects. He has planned for each of us. The next scripture came was Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Because he has an abundant supply, he doesn't run out like my mind says he's going to run out, or I am going to do something he can't forgive because I got angry with myself, or I got angry with someone else, or I got angry with him. I don't know anybody who has never gotten angry with God. The other day, I'm speaking to one of my family members, and they shared with me the depth of their heart when someone passed. And how God used someone in their lives to keep them from doing something stupid because they were mad at God. Many people, because they don't get their way, many people who lose a loved one, we perceive that something that has been stolen from us. If Jesus had never died on that cross, you and I would not have the freedom we have. Secondly, he was able to trust in the absolute abilities of our Father to pull him out of the grave. So he's not limited, like your soul and my soul would say, oh, maybe he'll run out of grace halfway through the resurrection and I'll have half of me and the other half's going to be missing and blah, blah, blah. Stupidity will enter your brain and try to steal. Because that's the job of the stealer. He is on the job to steal. He's on the job to destroy. I was speaking to someone today and I said about how much of our soul is in the control. How much of our soul is still operating. So much more than we would probably like. But take a good look at your 24-hour period in front of you. And see how much of it is under the unction of obedience to the instructions the Lord gave you versus what you think you should be doing in order to survive. When I say in order to survive, there are times when the word says, I'm going to supply your need. Well, my understanding of supply is with an abundance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so I can bless people. Is it really my job to bless people? Or is it God's job? Will they ever discover what it's like to receive from the Lord if you and I do the supplying? And I remember one time my wife and I had a discussion. It was forgot somebody's birthday or something. And she said, oh, we should do this and this and this. And I says, honey, I really agree with you. It would be wonderful. The only thing is they'd never discover the supplier. We would be their supply. Well, she says, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I said, yeah, it would be nice. But they'd never discover the need of their relationship to God to that they can depend on, because we will not always be around. Our supply is limited, but his is what?
Unlimited.
And it's eternal. And if they become acquainted with their supplier, when her and I are gone, the flow of grace and favor will continue on that house. And in their hearts. There are times that you will take the place of God and you will cancel his ability to let himself be known because you end up doing it out of pity, out of a desire to stop the pain. Are you catching on? Yep.
Have you ever seen yourself do that? I have. And the Lord one time said to me, would you please let me be the one that gets the credit, not you? Okay? Because automatically we get a credit when, you know, someone has a release, someone has a new awareness of, oh my God, I'm finally free. Did they get free because you obeyed? Or did they get free because they're depending on the abundance of the Lord? And there are both. There are times that the Lord will tell you to do something and the glory will go to the Lord. But there are other times when your emotions will control you. And that's the danger. When emotions control you, you're heading for trouble. When you listen to television and programs on Christian networks, and you see the anointing there, and I'm not saying in every case, but in many cases, I see seduction, I see manipulation. They say, oh, this and that, and you know, and I say to the Lord, when is it going to change? I believe it will change down the road. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to have some real downloads in many people. And it's our job to go to Him and ask Him for grace. Not just for the ministries, but for us too. That we will be obedient to what He's called us to be and to do. And then when we do our part, His abundance will fill in the rest. Amen?
Amen.
So would you lift your hands and close your eyes? Say, Lord, this is a heavy message.
Lord, this is a heavy message.
But in reality,
I want to taste it.
I want to experience it. And I want it to be filled with the knowledge of your abundance. Corrie ten Boom went into prison.
Into
slave camps.
And she was
protected.
She lost her sister.
And still she became an evangelist.
And
touched the world.
Even the day
where the one who executed
beatings upon her friends
and her own sister
was confronted
right in front of her.
And she recognized him instantly.
And she froze on that stage
and couldn't open her mouth
until the Holy Spirit said,
will you forgive that officer?
That was the executioner.
In that death camp.
And she purposed in her heart to set him free.
And then he accepted Jesus
at the end of the service.
That's abundant grace.
That's abundant mercies.
Flowing through a vessel,
chosen by God,
to give us an example
of God's abundant grace
and unmerited favor.
I want that kind of grace
for myself first,
because I need to forgive
the old pattern of my thoughts.
And protect me,
like you're learning,
to download into me
the next level of my walk with you.
Whatever is planned in my book
and written there,
I want to reach my destiny.
And I'm asking for the grace
to get me there.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.